Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Frank Pizor. So without further ado, here he is.
My name is Frank. I am one of the two pastors here at Harvest Community Church. And by the grace of God and the grace of God alone, I am a new creation in Christ. I want to welcome you here. Thank you so much for being here. And today we are going to talk about Enoch. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to open up your phones to Genesis chapter 5, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 5, specifically at verses 21 through 24. I'm going to read that for us. It says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Keep it up. I know, sorry. I already noticed that. My apologies. The Bible is full of genealogies. How many of you love reading genealogies? Yeah, it's like watching golf on Sunday. Or bowling, it'll put you to sleep, and you'll miss things. You'll miss some really good things, especially when we look at Enoch. And so I want to ask if I could get, perhaps, four volunteers, hopefully from our younger generation, simply because the younger generation is here with us today, and it's like seeds. So did they all disappear? No, there's some here. So can I get some volunteers? Younger generation. Anybody, you don't have to stand up and sing. Okay, come on up, it's free. Come on up. Oh, there we go. I knew there was something that was missing. Come on, okay, there's three. Elliot, come on up. I said Elliot, I should have said Elijah, my apologies. All right, we have our four. Okay, come on up, ladies and gentlemen. In order to do this right, since you are different, I'm going to give you different. Okay, so you're going to stand right here, my brother. And then you ladies are all going to do this. And so I'm going to give you names, but not yet, because we're going to read this. And when I read what it is, and I'm going to ask you to repeat the name after me, and then I'm going to read the verse. Sound good? Okay. So we're going to start with you, Noel, okay? All right. You have to say your name is, and say it with me, Mahalalel. That's a tough one, right? But just go through it, all right? Go ahead.
Mahalalel.
Oh, pretty good. I think you did it better than I did. Well, let me describe you, okay? Mahalalel was 65 years old when he became the father of Jared. And after the birth of Jared, Mahalalel lived another 830 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he entered eternity. Okay, so put this over your head. Put same. This is the same thing that's been going on since verse 1. They list somebody, share a couple things, and then they enter into eternity. Okay, you ready? Very good. Excellent. All right, so you are Jared. You ready?
Jared.
Say, I am Jared.
Jared.
All right, I am Jared. That's right. Not Pastor Jared, not to be confused, because they're a little bit different in age. But when Jared was 162 years old, he became the father of Enoch. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Jared lived 962 years, and then he entered into eternity. Wow, you were old, girl. All right. Now, here's our different guy. We already read Enoch, right? So you can just put your head up different. Your hand up. Sorry, I just said head, but head. You are different because we have a pattern that's growing. Now, I don't know your name. Can you share your name with me?
Presley.
How could I not know your name? I should know your name. Shame on you. Were you not sitting with your parents? No, you were over there somewhere. Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. All right. You are Methuselah. Can you say Methuselah?
I am Methuselah.
Methuselah.
All right. Very good. You were 187 years old, and you became the father of Lamech. And after the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he entered into eternity. So what we have when we read the genealogy is everybody starting with Adam and Eve is like same. And then we get to Enoch, which is different. You guys did great. Give him a hand. You can sit back down. Save those as souvenirs if I ever become famous. You can keep it, hon. You can keep it. Again, what do we have? We have this pattern that we're reading here in Genesis chapter 5. It's a simple pattern. What happens is the writer of Genesis gives a name and an age, then says they became a father, they lived a little bit longer, they had a bunch more kids, and then they entered into eternity. Then we get to Enoch, and Enoch, if we could bring Enoch back up there, Enoch totally breaks the pattern. It starts the same. Give a name, age of the firstborn, and then it says he lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. There's something different because we have this pattern. Live, kids, pass off into eternity. But Enoch comes along and it's totally different. And they said he lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And then if you slip down to verse 24, it says he walked in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Enoch is absolutely different from everybody else. The formula has changed. And I think there's a reason. Because at this point, if I understand Genesis chapter 5 correctly, what we're seeing are the consequences of sin. And one of the consequences of sin is death. And so what we've seen, everyone who comes, they live, and then they pass off into eternity. But we get to Enoch, and the story is totally different. Enoch simply walked with God. We don't hear that about anyone else in the genealogy. We hear about it with Adam and Eve because God walked with them. We'll hear about it with Noah because God walked with Noah. We'll hear about it again when it comes to Elisha and Elijah. God walked with them. Enoch is someone who is totally different. And up to this point, what we see is everyone has passed into eternity except this guy, Enoch. Now, the question is this then, what does it actually mean to walk with God? So when you look at the NLT, and if you ever get a chance to look at some of the other versions, but the idea is that Enoch walked with God in close fellowship, or as the Amplified Bible says, habitual fellowship. In other words, he walked all the time with God. Now, when we bring that up, sometimes we kind of think to ourselves, what does it mean to really walk with God all the time? Like if you're walking down the street and you see like a penny on the ground and you say, oh, there's a penny, and you pick it up and you go, this reminds me of God because God created everything. And it's a copper. So since God has coppers or policemen, we should be thankful to them. That's how you live, right? You're all looking at me, kind of, I think. You're all looking at me like, what is he talking about? It doesn't mean to walk like that. It means to be like in communion with God. To be with God that when you're going through your day and you're thinking about something or you're reflecting on something, your mind comes back to God. Not every little detail, but just in life as you recognize God's presence in your life. And so Enoch, whether he was a farmer or whatever he was, he walked with God in close and habitual fellowship. And when God saw this, God was pleased. And when we see that, we understand that there was something that was completely different about who Enoch was. See, because when you walk with someone, you have to be headed in the same direction. Now, if I wanted to go for a walk with my supplier is here today, my sugar supplier from Waterfront. Franz, you want to say hi? Say hi. It's my supplier. He is the reason why I'm still addicted to sugar. But if Franz and I wanted to go for a walk, we would go out these doors and we would head in the same direction. Otherwise, if we went in different directions, we are no longer walking together. We're not walking with each other. So when we see or think about it, when Enoch is walking with God, they're walking in the same direction. And we'll see this a little bit later on, but they're walking in the same direction because the things that God would value are the things that Enoch valued. So if God valued purity or honesty or integrity, those were the things that Enoch valued. If God did not like something, like if he saw sin, like dishonesty, a lack of integrity, stealing, or whatever it is, he wouldn't participate in those. Because to him, sin was not breaking a principle, it was breaking a relationship. Because when Enoch walked with God, to sin meant that that relationship was broken and it wouldn't be there. So it wasn't the principle of walking with God that mattered. It was walking with God that mattered to Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And so whatever God loved and valued, it was the same thing. They were on the same page. Hebrews 11:5 tells us this. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commanded as one who pleased God. Enoch pleased God. When God saw Enoch, there was pleasure in his eyes. Now, here's the thing. What is it that really Enoch did? So let me ask. We'll take a quiz and we'll see how well we do this. Name the Ten Commandments that Enoch followed. Anybody want to guess? Did you say they weren't given yet? Yes, correct answer. He did not follow the Ten Commandments. They weren't given yet. So it must have been something else. He read his Bible every day and applied what he read. Amen? Yeah, the brother didn't have a Bible either. Man, he's really in trouble. How is he pleasing God? He regularly attended the local church in his neighborhood. No, he didn't even do that. I can't believe the guy didn't go to church. What else did he do on Sundays? Okay, that didn't go well either. Okay, here's what it is. He was in a small accountability group. That's what kept him together, right? Right? That is what really, no, that's not what pleased God either. I'm trying to understand, what is it then? Hebrews 11:5 says he had faith. Faith is not just believing in someone and something. Faith is also inclusive of a switching of our allegiance. To truly have faith, to truly trust in God, we stop living for ourselves and start living for God. We repent of the way that we would want to live, the way we desire to live, and live a new life in and with God. And so when Scripture tells us this guy Enoch had faith, this guy Enoch pleased God so much so that God rewarded him by not letting him experience death. That's what faith is. It is believing in who God is. It is believing in what God has done and then turning from living for ourselves and living for him. Enoch walked with God. He said, back then it might have been easy, right? This is what he went through. In Jude verses 14 and 15, it says this. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about the people that he lived with. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things that they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He did not live in a culture that followed after God. What made Enoch so different was that in the midst of a culture that was anti-God, he pleased God, he had faith, he trusted in who God was, he trusted in what God had done for him, and he followed, not living his own ways, but living for God alone. That's what it means to actually walk with God. Now, I need 5 more volunteers. So, rather than voluntolding, if I could get 5 volunteers, can be anyone. And 5 volunteers, and all you have to do is just walk in place. Very simple. You don't have to do any speaking whatsoever. You just have to walk in place. Because remember, we have our younger generation here, so we want to keep them engaged with us. So super adults that are out there that want to help lead Seeds one day as a Seeds teacher. And thankfully, you're in the front row. But I will not pick on you because, okay, Brian, we have Brian. All right, come on, Brian. There's one. I need 4 more. All right, Sandy, there's 2. This is great. 2, can I hear 3? 3, you're going to go 3, 3, you're going to. Okay, Shua, okay, there's 3. Okay. And Miss Amy? Zach, okay, Zach. Is that Jacob in back? Rick, is that Jacob? Yeah, it's Jacob coming up. I think I got this right. I need a Jesus figure. You're the tallest, so we're going to make you Jesus. Okay? And actually, can you stand sideways? Okay, that way is too. That's fine also. Okay, and then I need someone who is going to walk behind. So, Sandy, you're already here, so we're going to have you walk behind. And then we're going to have somebody walk beside. And then we're going to have somebody walk away. So, Amy, why don't we have you come over here? Anywhere over here. And then we're going to have walk in front of. We'll have, since you're here, walk in front of, and then you can walk with, okay? You're fine. Okay, so this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to explain to you without any slides. I'm going to go Cro-Magnon man kind of, whatever you want to call it, just to kind of help you see. How are some ways in which we can walk with Jesus? Well, we can walk with Jesus when we walk behind him, which reminds me of, and this is no offense to you, but it reminds me of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was a part of the crowd of Jesus, right? He followed behind him. He heard the message, and one day he approaches Jesus and says, "What must I do?" And Jesus told him, "Give up your riches." Well, he was following behind, but because he was following behind, he wasn't really with Jesus, which is what Jesus calls us to do, and which what Enoch did. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be doing the motions. My bad. Walking behind. What's the problem with walking behind? Still was not walking with Jesus. And so many of us, I think we can go to church or small group or accountability or do all the right things, live by the right principles, still be walking behind Jesus, but not necessarily walking with Jesus. Because there are things that, okay, you guys can stop. You guys are going to get worn out, except for Brian, who's a marathon man. Walking behind Jesus, okay, you don't want to stop? Go ahead, you keep going. Walking behind Jesus is not a good thing. Because like the rich young ruler, he ended up walking away. Another way in which we can walk with Jesus is actually walk away from Jesus. Who does that remind you of? It reminds me of someone named Demas. Demas loved the world, very similar to the rich young ruler, loved the world and eventually walked away. So if you want, you can make your exit right now and you can walk away. You can go wherever you want, sister. You can stand in back. You can get refreshments if you want, but whatever, you're done. So we have... You can actually sit down too, sister. So what we have left is someone who is walking with, beside, and in front of. Can anyone think of anyone who walked in front of in Scripture? Would you say Joshua? Joshua and all of them had a time where they came, the Gibeonites came to them, and they said, "Hey, we're out-of-towners. You know, you don't want to kill us. We want to live. Let's have a covenant." So they made a covenant without approaching God. What did they do? They were walking ahead of God. They were looking and seeing all these things, but they weren't paying attention to what God wanted them to do. So in the midst of that, it ended up in a lot of trouble because God said, "What have you done? What you've done is wrong. It's not good." When we walk ahead of Jesus sometimes and we think, "I know what I'm going to do," what happens? We think, "God, we have a strategy. Come on, Jesus. We have a plan. We're going to do this. Come on." Well, you don't have to come with us now. You can just stay there, bro. Just kidding. This is why it's easier with seeds kids, man. At least they listen. But we walk ahead. And when you walk ahead of Jesus, what do you miss? Because if Jesus makes a right turn or a left turn, you keep walking. There's a lot of times in Scripture where people just keep walking without seeing what Jesus wants them to do. Now, did I give you with or beside? Which one?
With.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're beside now. Okay. Walking beside Jesus. Okay, you guys can do your motions now here. Do you notice anything different? They're all walking together. But you can walk beside Jesus just like, hang in there, Judas. Judas walked beside Jesus maybe for three and a half years. And I would imagine that Judas even did miracles. But in his heart, he wasn't with Jesus. In his heart, he walked beside him to a point where he ultimately betrayed Jesus. How many of us in our lives are just walking beside Jesus? We look good on the outside. People may even admire us. People may think, "Wow, you have a wonderful ministry. I really appreciate what you're doing." But you're not really walking with Jesus. You're not connected with him in his heart. I mean, the reality is, and I don't think we do this, but you can go to Albania. You can go to Rhode Island. And when we used to go to Tuba City, one of the things that we always thought, you can go there for God and miss going there with God. It's a world of difference, isn't there? You can do the thing. You can do the ministry. But you don't do it with God, then you're missing the point. Does that make sense? Judas was beside for such a long time. And when it wasn't going his way, he walked away. as Amy did earlier. Or, like Enoch, you can sit down now, brother. And actually, you guys can sit down too. But like Enoch, he walked with God. It was his habit. It was the thing that he did regularly. Why? Because he loved God. When he saw who God was, the greatness of who he is, the incredible mercy and grace that he poured out even upon Enoch, even as Enoch looked at the world in which he lived in, and everyone was ungodly, choosing their own way in which to live, Enoch still said, I don't want that. I don't want the riches and the fame. And I would encourage you, I don't know if you guys do this, but if you go on YouTube, Babylon B has a parody on the resurrection. Part of this parody on the resurrection is Peter wakes up on that Sunday after Jesus has been crucified, and he says, and it's a hoax, he says, you know, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, but he says, guys, I got a plan. Let's pretend that Jesus really rose from the dead. And this is really cool. We're going to pretend, and then we're going to go tell everybody, and then in the end, we all die. That's kind of like what they did. We all die. And all the disciples are like, yeah, cool, that's an awesome plan, we love that plan. And then one of them, John the Apostle, goes, hey, wait a minute. Before we die, isn't there fame and fortune and riches and all that kind of stuff? Don't we get that? And they go, bro, no, it's not that at all. We get to die. And that's the parody of it all. Enoch would have said, I will follow because my heart is filled by God, and I walk with him. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to live in sin. Sin does nothing but destroy. I want to have life. I want to experience life. Life is not easy. Life is a struggle. Life is difficult, but I want life because in the end, for us as followers of Jesus, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to be different in a culture that wants to live for itself. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it now. But to walk with God is to look and say, I don't want that life. There may be pleasure. There may be a lot of things to enjoy. But its way ends in destruction and death. I would rather walk with Jesus through the suffering, through the difficulties, through the hardship. Because in the end, God rewarded Enoch with life. True life. Because he took him to heaven. And here's a little rapture thing, if you're into rapture or the millennial, the end times. I really believe the two witnesses are not Elijah and Moses, but Elijah and Enoch. Because they're the only two in Scripture that never experienced death and would ultimately not experience a resurrection body. And so that's why I think it's Enoch. Enoch was rewarded by God. And I think in the end times he will come back with Elijah, who also was taken by God, and will say, what? This Jesus is worth it. They will be the witnesses. They will tell the world that this God is good. This God is worthy to be followed. He so loved the world. Don't live for yourself. Live for him. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. And I'm just going to give you a few minutes to reflect. And here's what I want you to reflect on. Where are you right now spiritually? Where are you right now spiritually in your heart? Are you walking ahead of God? Are you walking behind him? Or are you walking away from him? Or are you walking beside him? Or ultimately, are you walking with him? If you are not walking with him, then ask that question. Answer this question. This is where I'm at now. Where does God want me to be? And how does he want me to get there? Because ultimately what Scripture teaches us clearly is that God has revealed himself as a God who wants to be known and who wants to walk in fellowship, habitual fellowship, continual fellowship with people. And his call to us is a call to him. And if we don't answer that call, we're living less than lives. And so in the next minute or so again, I'm going to be silent after this. Just ask, where am I? Where does God want me to be? And then how do I get there? Father, I thank you for your word where you have revealed yourself. I thank you for the example of someone like Enoch who allows us to see what it's like to follow you in a culture that hates you. But more than anything else, we thank you for the hope. The hope that we have in Jesus. Not the hope that we have in examples in Scripture, but the hope that we have in Jesus. The Son of God, who humbled himself to come to walk among us, to live in the sorrow of a sinful world that he created, to be filled not with sin, but to be filled with righteousness, and to walk in that, and how much it grieved his heart on a daily basis to walk in this world filled with sin, but yet to continue this walk, to die on a cross for the joy set before him, knowing that this cross would be the cross that would set people free. And we're grateful that in rising from the dead, now this power we have to be able to walk with you, recognizing, as we have before in the past, that we cannot be conformed to the image of Jesus on our own. We need help, and you have provided everything we need through the cross and through the Spirit. We can be whole, we can be filled, we can be with you. And so I pray for our congregation that it's not just a matter of talk, but that we would really this week examine, where are we? Where am I in my relationship with Jesus? Am I behind? Am I ahead? Am I walking away even though I might look nice like the church at Sardis? Am I walking beside? Am I really walking with? I pray your Spirit would fill us to walk with. Amen. Let me just give you this blessing. And I pray that this week you may fully understand the height, the depth, the length, and the width of the love of God for you and the life that he seeks to give you that is so deep and so rich that it is truly life. May the God who loves to reveal himself to you. May he draw you close to him, and may you experiencing him in ways that you have not experienced ever or in a long time or even recently. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.